Author Rachel Billups tells a story about Thanksgiving in her household being an adventure. It's not unusual, she says, for us to be gathered with in-laws and outlaws, strangers and friends. With such a diverse group, conversation can get interesting. Because of a deep desire to enjoy the meal, Rachel tends to steer the conversation away from anything that would create an argument. No political banter, zero comments about the current presidential administration, no discussion around the plight of refugees throughout the world, and they promise to refrain from talking about those who are not present. However hard she tries, her efforts are not always successful. Even so, she says, in the midst of all the verbal gymnastics, one thing brings unity. There is one secret weapon of love, she says, and that is her mother's pie. Nobody argues about her mother's pie. Rachel calls it her mother's spiritual gift. The pie is always delicious, always baked to perfection. So when the conversation gets to the point of no return, Rachel speaks these three magic words, "Who wants pie?" And suddenly, love fills the air. If only we lived in a world where we could negotiate all conflicts with pie and the love it helps to bring. We are in our second week of a series aimed at celebrating the 300th anniversary of the hymn Joy to the World. The focus of our first week was hopeful joy, and in it we explored the writings of the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu in their book entitled The Book of Joy. The Archbishop explained that joy is much bigger than happiness. While happiness is often seen as being dependent on external circumstances, joy is not seen that way. You see, the Archbishop cautions, discovering more joy does not save us from the inevitability of hardship and heartbreak. But with joy, we can have hardship without becoming hard, and we can have heartbreak without being broken. The Dalai Lama gives us something interesting to think about when he says, we create most of our suffering. So it should be logical that we also have the ability to create more joy. When it comes to personal happiness, there is a lot that we as individuals can do. The Dalai Lama talks about this in terms of wider perspective and larger perspective. When we widen and deepen our perspective, we can see our situation and all those involved in it in a larger context and from a more neutral position. This allows us to see that even though our situation may be challenging here in the moment, from the vantage point of a month or a year or a decade later, the challenges of today seem much more manageable. So for last week's theme of hopeful joy, we talked a lot about perspective. This week's theme is loving joy. Today's scripture reminds us of the radical and the unexpected ways God's love shows up in our world. In Isaiah chapter 11, we read about a shoot coming from a stump. In other words, life coming forth from that which was perceived as dead. At the beginning of his book, The Hidden Life of Trees, author Pete Wolleben describes coming across a group of mossy stones in the forest one day. Intrigued by their unusual shapes, he bent down to take a closer look. And upon further inspection, he realized that these things he thought were stones were actually alive and rooted in the ground. They were green and they could not be moved. He steps back and notices these stones laid in a pattern, and then he realizes that what he had stumbled upon were actually the gnarled remains of an enormous ancient tree stump. As Marcia McPhee has said, nature has a way of showing us what it looks like to hold fast to life and love and joy. We see living stones or shoots coming from a stump, and something about it resonates in our soul. God is at work here. New life is emerging here. I got to see this firsthand this week. We have a potted plant in the office. I'm not really sure what kind of plant it is. Based on some quick research, I think it could be from the caudiciform plant family. Anyhow, it's just this bulb that kind of sits on top of the dirt. And out of it are some shoots of like fern leaves. Well, I noticed several months ago that the soil was as dry as it could be. And the leaves growing out of the very top were really quite stressed. Many had fallen out, and gently touching any of them would cause the same fate. Having been quite neglected, I made a point to water the plant each week. Then we hired Catherine as our administrative assistant, and I asked her to keep up the watering all the plants that had joined this little ferny-like plant, to water all the plants that were moved into the office during decorating for the holiday bazaar and remain in there yet today. So this week, something surprising caught my eye. In all of my 6 years here, I have not seen anything like it. But a few little leaves are actually emerging from a new spot at the base of this stressed plant. Where all this time we've only seen a few leaves coming shooting out the top, now all of a sudden where the bulb starts to form, there's something coming out the side there. What excitement. Nature does have a way of showing us what it looks like to hold fast to life and love and joy. God is at work here. New life is emerging here. In Matthew chapter 3, we read about John the Baptist. In his own unique and perhaps peculiar way, this character sings of the radical love of God in Jesus. He calls out in the wilderness saying, God is at work here. New life is emerging here. This man in the wilderness is crying out for the people and standing with them in the waters of baptism for the sake of their salvation. In this, we sense a deep, loving joy that this disciple had for the people of God. And to be sure, this God whose work we are talking about is the same God who so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. I do think it is fitting to talk a little about a compassion on this day where our theme is loving joy. The Dalai Lama in the book of Joy is quoted as saying, a compassionate concern for others' well-being is the source of happiness. On this planet, over the last 3,000 years, different religious traditions have developed, and all of these traditions carry the same message, which is a message of love. The Archbishop Desmond Tutu adds to the conversation saying, we are actually quite remarkable creatures. In our religions, I am created in the image of God. I am a God carrier. It's fantastic. I have to be growing in God-likeness, in caring for the other. I know that each time I have acted compassionately, I have experienced a joy in me that I find in nothing else. So there's a practice of compassion suggested in the book of Joy. Let me introduce it to you now. First, it's recommended that you find a comfortable sitting position. And then you take several long breaths through your nose and follow this with a minute or two of breath awareness meditation. So just be aware of how your body is sitting and how it is breathing. And then you're encouraged to think of someone you love very much, a relative or a friend or even a pet. And try to either see their face in your mind's eye or feel their presence and notice how your heart feels when you think of them. The fourth step is to feel whatever arises. If you feel warmth, tenderness or affection, then stay with these nice feelings. If not, just stay with the thought of your loved one. And then the fifth step is to silently say these following lines. May you be free from suffering. May you be healthy. May you be happy. May you find peace and joy. And then after you've done this, breathe in. And as you breathe out, imagine a warm light coming from the center of your heart, carrying your love to your loved one and bringing them peace and joy. And finally, rejoice in the thought of your loved one's happiness for a minute or two more. So now, this is a formula for a meditation. And then after you've done this, you can continue the meditation by following the same steps while calling to mind a person you know who is having a difficult time, and they would be the source of your focus. Eventually, you would pray, may you be free from suffering. May you be healthy. May you be happy. May you find peace and joy. Next, call your own self to mind in the meditation, eventually praying, may I be free from suffering. May I be healthy. May I be happy. May I find peace and joy. And finally, call to mind everyone collectively on the planet and follow the same steps, eventually praying, may all beings be free from suffering. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be happy. May all beings find peace and joy. Why is compassion such an important topic related to loving joy? Well, compassion is contagious. When we see others being compassionate, we are more likely to be compassionate. Recent research by social scientists Nicholas Christakis and James Fowler suggests that this ripple effect can extend out to 2 or 3 degrees of separation. In other words, experiments with large numbers of people show that if you are kind and compassionate, your friends and your friends' friends and even your friends' friends' friends are more likely to become kind and compassionate. Do you remember today's opening story about Thanksgiving at Rachel Billups' house, where every effort is made to steer the conversation away from anything that would create an argument? But when the conversation gets to the point of no return, Rachel speaks these 3 magic words, "Who wants pie?" And suddenly, love fills the air. Well, Rachel offers another story. She serves on staff at Ginghamsburg Church, which is a large United Methodist church in Tipp City, Ohio. Ginghamsburg Church is a faith home to all sorts of people, liberal people, conservative people, LGBTQ people, Tea Party members, addicted people, people set free from addiction, folks looking for Jesus, and folk living out Jesus. During Advent, Rachel and her husband John open their home to 40 people through a ministry they call Open Table, which is an intentional space of invitation and reconciliation. Neighbors and friends, church folk, strangers, everyone is invited. At Open Table, there will be people known in the community for their conservative rhetoric, along with same-sex married couples, people with means, people without means, people who are degreed and non-degreed. It is a glimpse of God's kingdom, Rachel notes. Open Table is there to create unity, love, and a place for healthy conversation. They are a people who find their unity in Jesus. While they engage in passionate, fierce debate, it is not for the sake of winning nor for tearing down the competition, but rather for the purpose of building up and understanding, listening, and creating unity in the body of Christ. They are creating a space of grace so that they can figure out how to love each other through their differences. Rachel notes that Advent is an invitation for us to open our hearts to God and to allow God to use us in sharing Jesus' love with the people around us. We don't need to have it all figured out. We don't have to all agree. And we don't all have to win. We must simply allow God to use us. And perhaps to be ready, when necessary, to speak those magic words, "Who wants pie?" as a way to invite God's love to fill the air. As we noted during our Advent candlelighting liturgy, when we repeat the sounding joy, we affect the world around us, spreading the good news and crowding out the hateful stuff. More love equals joy. And that is precisely what God is asking of us today as we celebrate loving joy. Amen.